portion of House Bill 5058, and we'll go ahead with that public hearing portion. Why don't we go ahead and hear from Leanne Thompson, who is the executive officer of the board. And this, I might mention, is a de novo hearing of the Augsburg Board of Radiologic Technology. So we'll go ahead and start out.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you've indicated, my name is Leanne Thompson. I'm the executive officer of the Oregon Board of Radiologic Technology. The first challenge is learning how to pronounce the title because it's a tongue twister. You have before you a four-page document. I'd also like to mention that up at the table with the DASDAM legislative analyst, the DASDAM analyst, sorry, and the legislative analyst, Board Chair Glenn Plan and Erica Hovis, who's a public member of the board, who graciously agreed to join us today. The Board of Radiologic Technology regulates the use of ionizing radiation on human beings, the people who are allowed to do that, for purposes of diagnosis and treatment. This is a seven-member board appointed by the governor, five members who are radiologic technologists, one of whom is a radiation therapist, as is the board chair. The other four members are diagnostic therapists. There's a public member and a physician, radiologist Dr. Ken Stevens, who also sits on the board. There's also an advisory non-voting member from the health division because it's the health division who regulates the machines that emit ionizing radiation. So what we do is license people who are allowed to use ionizing radiation. That's part of our services that we offer on the second page. We also enforce compliance with the Oregon Revised Statutes and Administrative Rules. We evaluate continuing education offerings for both levels of licensure. We evaluate limited permit courses of instruction. We also administer the limited permit examination, develop it and administer it, because that shows the initial competence to practice of limited permit holders. There are, as I said, two levels of licensure in the state. One is what we call the full rad tech. Those folks have 2 to 4 years education, generally have passed the ARRT's, oops, they were recorded, the American Registry of Radiologic Technologists examination that's administered out of a private organization in Minnesota. Those are 3/4 of our licensees. 1/4 of our licensees are limited permit holders who come out of limited permit courses of instruction and pass the board's limited permit examination. One of the other things that we do is that we have all the public accountability of a public agency, including hearings like this, all of the governor's rules and regulations that we follow. We were accepting credit card payments for fees. We've had to cancel that because we'd have to pay twice for that, and with the level of fee that's been proposed at $4, we can't afford to continue to take credit cards. We'd hope at some time that we think that's a good business move in order to provide excellent customer service for our stakeholders. We're not able to do that at the present time. We have developed a website with what we hope is the next best thing to electronic commerce, where people who visit our website can come and download our applications and then fax us those applications. The organization, as I said, has a volunteer board. We have an executive officer with 2.4 office specialist twos, a contract investigator who does our investigations, a database programmer, and a network administrator. All of those last three positions are through personal services contracts. We have a business plan that speaks to our creating a community of stakeholders and providing those stakeholders with the highest quality customer service. We also want to use the most flexible and responsive administrative processes and technology. You do have a budget document before you, I believe. In that folder, if you look at pages 13 and 14, it talks about what we'd like to do and how we'd like to do it. The ratio of administration to program staff is hard to define because administrative staff also performs program activities. The support staff includes those 1.4 OS2s and the contract staff. Historically, we've had to bring in temporary staffers to support the workload that we have. If you look at page 36 of your budget document, what you'll see is a very confusing history, and what it tells you is that's the level of staffing that we've had to bring in order to carry out the workload that the legislature has given us to do. It's been, I think patchwork is probably the word that I've used. We'd asked earlier for $5 a month and 3.0 FTE. It doesn't look as though there's widespread enough support to support that, but we do think that that would make staffing easier and more reliable. We had budget notes that spoke to the ending cash balance and standardized renewal periods. We have implemented the transition to birth month renewal during this biennium. It's been an interesting process for everybody involved. It's very complex because what it involves was one time only issuing a transition license that helped stagger the birth month renewal. If I could take you back to the first sheet in terms of the four pages that I gave, in terms of our fee history, the 1979 legislature set the fees at $25 a year for permanent radiologic technologist license and limited permits, $20 for 6 months for the temporary license and limited permits. The 1991 legislature changed to biennial renewal. Before that, it had been an annual renewal. Increased the fee level to $70 per biennium for permanent licenses and limited permits, $20 for the 6 months temporary license or limited permit. It was in the 1997 legislature that SB 1173 removed fees from statute because of the need for an immediate fee increase to maintain service levels. And that was the legislature's budget analyst, Ann Glaze, who's known as the angel of LFO, who pointed that out to us. We view Christy Nickram as an angel in training, and she's about to get her wings, I believe, at the end of this session. Also, the 1997 legislature passed House Bill 2073, which implemented the birth month renewal to replace all licenses expiring on March 31st of odd-numbered years and limited permits expiring on March 31st of even-numbered years. The plan was to transition, as I said, during this biennium to a birth month renewal, and it's been this transition that has been awkward and confusing to people. Those who have attempted to respond to it, whether they're administering it or paying the bill for it. The 1998 fees for the limited permit renewals and the 1999 fees for RadTech renewals implement House Bill 2073 and the licenses and limited permits ranging from 2 years up to 3 years and 11 months, and they cost between $120 and $235. That was at the $5 level because it was the governor's budget analyst who had worked long and hard with the board, and the board worked pretty long and hard too, to say what's the reasonable fee that we need to implement the level of services that the legislature has given us the responsibility to perform. The prudent fiscal number was $5 a month. Because we hadn't had the necessary lead-in time, we charged that $5 a month. We held that. We've been deliberating since then to see what's the acceptable monthly fee. I would have to say that the board's tried to let our stakeholders know about that. In March and April of 1998, the limited permit holders did renew with a $5 rate. The board announced, worked on various fee structures, announced the proposal in a January 1998 newsletter, and the DAS authorized rate in a subsequent January 1999 newsletter and in publications related to the Oregon administrative rule process.
So the $5 fee began to be charged in March of 1999?
No, sir. Mr. Chair, in March of 1998. Because the projections by LFO and supported by the governor's office showed that without those immediate fee increases, the board would have insufficient ending cash balance. Otherwise, we would have happily waited. the response for a proposed fee increase has been increased dramatically. We had a special meeting on January 25th, 1999, specifically to accept public input. Again, we'd had two prior board meetings asking for public input. We had a special meeting designed specifically for that. We had one person attend that public meeting. So response to the proposed fee increase has increased dramatically with the mailing out of the actual renewal notices and with the opening of the legislative session. OBRT's 50 cents. The Oregon Board of Radiologic Technologies member from Redmond has diligently engaged in extensive dialogue with radiologic technologists from the St. Charles Medical Center and Bend, attempting to address their concerns, because, you know, those folks in particular have some strong concerns, so we've really been doing everything we can to reach out to them. Board also had a public board meeting there on April 20th, 1999. The 1999 legislature is now proposing to act on a fee in House Bill 5065 to set license and limited permit fees at $4 a month for both permanent and temporary licenses and limited permits. What else do I have to tell you? We've done a lot of benchmarking. We've done a lot of program evaluation. If you look on pages 20 through 22 of the budget document, you'll see three pages of performance benchmark measures that we've set for ourselves so that we can explain to people when they say, what is it that you do with our money? We have tangible tasks and actual numbers to give them, and so we'd like to think that we've extended our accountability and made it more articulate whenever possible. The growth of the numbers of licensees has been fairly flat. The spectrum of related services has been rich. You, the legislature, have told us to do those services, and we've done our utmost to do them. We also are undergoing a performance audit by the Oregon Quality Award Quality Assurance. Our students from Oregon State have come. They're about to deliver their report later on this week, and we expect that that will give us additional information and some feedback to go forward and do better. Other than that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might
have. Thank you very much. Other questions of Ms. Thompson? This is the mobile hearing, so everything's on table.
How adequate now are the fees, and what does it do to your ending balance?
Chair Butler, Senator Cho, it looks as though our DASDAN analyst and the LFO analyst and the board staff have been working for quite a while looking at what kinds of fees we can project. One of the problems is that our database is antiquated and gives snapshots rather than cumulative data. So when we're trying to calculate what can we anticipate, so we're trying to project, it's very challenging to do that. We do a lot of hand counting and making hash marks and that sort of thing. As nearly as we can tell, with $5 a month fee from our licensees, assuming flat numbers, we can afford 3.0 staff, we can do outreach, we can do timely customer service. With $4 a month, we can afford 2.5 FTE staff. Our response time is slowed down. We can't expedite licenses. We can't do credit card payments the way we could. With $3 a month, which is the old rate, we're pretty decimated. Very slow, almost no outreach at all. So there's a variety of responses available. Depending on the level of funding that...
Which one of those responses do you like best?
Chair Butler, Senator Tro, I like to work hard, and so I like to be able to give value for the service. When I look at this, the reason the board agreed to go forward with $5 a month in addition to what the DAS analyst said was because we thought we could do more work that way.
Is $5 a month going to work for the next biennium?
Representative Chair Butler, I'm sorry, Senator Tro, it works for the board to do the work, but I think there's difficulty with the licensees in the field understanding what the value is for them and the board doing services for them, so they would...
Assistance to the $5 a month, is that the problem out there among the licensees?
Chair Butler, Senator Cho, among some of them, yes. Some of them want no board at all. Some want more board but less than $5, so I think $4 a month is the compromise figure.
You've gone up to 5 already, right? Are you going to reduce it back to 4?
Chair Butler, Senator Cho, in a complex set of data manipulations, I believe that the plan is to credit anyone who has paid $5 a month at their next renewal, so that we will be able to hopefully not have to refund them, because the health division does our cashiering and they will charge us $3 for every transaction, which comes out to something between $9,000 and $10,000 if we refund the money. So I believe that the plan is to determine which people deserve what kind of credit or have, you know, earned what kind of credit. And if someone is no longer one of our licensees, then we would issue a refund, and that would make more manageable the cost to refund the money.
I guess what I'd like is somebody who's really expert at this, best opinion is what you need to be a functioning board in the next 2 years, and how much funding is just the right amount. And if $4 a month is the right amount, that would satisfy me. And if $5 is the right amount, then I think we need to know that. $4.50. We're looking for you to tell us what you need, not to give us a puzzle to figure out. Yeah, we don't know anything.
If I could just follow up on that, I mean, it's mystifying to me that you come up with a need that would reflect $5 a month, and now we're going to go to $4. And if this is because of some political pressure, I want to know that too. I'd like to think that we are funding these boards at a level that they need to be funding at to adequately provide the services. And I don't want to vote for $4 a month per person as a result of some political pressure. It's the actual amount that every other board and commission, by the way, is obligated to charge its licensees, so that they're funded adequately. Reflects your true cost. So if it's $5 a month, so I'd like to know that.
Is this my question to answer?
I mean, how did you get from 5 to 4? I mean, if you came up with the number 5 based on what your needs were, how did it go back to 4?
Chair Butler, Representative Leonard, at the initial budget hearing, the board believed that it had support from the licensees that it had heard from and from the professional association. The board knew that there were some radiologic technologists in Bend who were unhappy about a fee increase. There's one person in particular who'd been unhappy for 20 years. We had a letter from 20 years ago to this person. The board tried to work with stakeholders to see if we could come to an understanding. This is what we're trying to do with your money. It became very difficult. It became very charged because there were people who felt that they didn't need a licensing board at all. And it became very contentious. The DASBAM analyst and the board had worked from October of 97 until March 13th of 1998 and had derived $5 as the prudent figure. But with the firestorm that developed, there was some question about, there were Dash 1 amendments prepared that would have eliminated the board. Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2178, and so it became clear that there was very stiff resistance.
You understand the concept that anybody can file a lawsuit?
Only too well.
And anybody can introduce an amendment.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that it has a lot of support but Mr. Chair, if I could just follow that up.
Sure.
So that I understand, a radiological technician actually performs the X-rays themselves.
The radiological technologist here.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Glenn Plam. I'm the chair of the board. I happen to be a radiation therapist. Okay. There are radiologic technologists, diagnostic people. Those are the people that most of us are familiar with. If you get a broken bone under your chest X-ray, those people do that. The therapists, people like myself, you get cancer. We treat the diseases.
This board regulates those people. And there are some people who actually think that they can come in and perform that service in their state, not be regulated or licensed, or that the legislature would entertain not licensing people that applied X-rays?
There are people who believe that that is so, that that all you need is about 2 or 3 weeks education and you can turn the machine on and you'd be okay. The bottom line is people like myself deliver potentially fatal doses of radiation to people every day. And it would scare me to know that they weren't licensed and regulated by the state of Oregon. That's the bottom line. And frankly, last week I told Leanne, if they're threatening us with extinction, go ahead and do it. Or let us do our job. I personally feel $5 is what we need for investigating. We'll live at $4, but $5 is the way we should go.
Because the extra dollar would allow you to do what?
Investigate.
Investigate complaints?
Investigate complaints, investigate unlicensed people, investigate abuse from patients, drug abusers. We have records of all of the above. And that's what we need. Right now we have a contract investigator that just responds to complaints. So we depend upon other folks to let us know. Uneducated people, what I mean by uneducated people who are not sophisticated patients.
So my mom recently had a malignant tumor removed from her brain and had radiology therapy. Has that been performed by some of these people?
Yes.
I'd be willing to estimate that people think they shouldn't be regulated.
Okay. we also regulate, there was a major hospital system, I might add, that alleged was lying on some of their reports that are required. We investigated that. So we clear people as well as find them guilty. We're not a non-issue. We've been characterized, I'm not going to like this, we're characterized as being arrogant and non-communicative. The bottom line is that we follow the rules that the state of Oregon tells us to do. If they don't want us to follow them, then cancel the laws. That's all we've done. That's all we've ever done. And we need the money. Now, our only shortcoming is that we happen to charge our constituencies for their investigations. What I would prefer to have done, what I like to have been done in this legislative session, is to set up the guilty party pays. That we haven't gotten to yet. I'd prefer that to be than where we're at right now. And that's basically the unfairness of our fee system in our board.
Are the prison any fines that are charged by the Oregon Board of Radiological Technicians?
Yes, we can charge up to $1,000 for some things.
Do you presently impose fines for malfeasance or problems of up to $1,000?
Yes, we have. We have through the whole process we have to go through, and we have imposed fines. The problem with that is that in the contested hearing, $1,000 doesn't cover our expense. Doesn't come close to the number of hours that the Attorney General charges us, the amount of staff time. I'm a volunteer, so all my time is free, even though I sit as a hearings officer and that sort of stuff. But Leanne and the Attorney General, what's the Attorney General charge now?
$79 an hour.
$79 an hour as our lawyer and as a consultant for our laws. And the money can run up quite high. And we're dealing with, I don't want to characterize any system as ever being guilty, but when you're dealing with a legacy health system that has 1,000 beds, it's a huge outfit. Providence, OHSU, I mean, these systems have an awful lot of money, and we have to investigate them whenever a complaint comes from Kaiser against a volunteer board.
Well, I would just say, Mr. Chair, I'd be very displeased to send out a budget here that wouldn't allow them to investigate complaints given the severity of what could occur from a person that is licensed, and I'm certainly all could appreciate that, to a patient. And they place a lot of trust in these people I have. And I recall recently carrying a bill on the floor that came out of this committee where we are now, they passed on the floor of the House that requires physical therapists $320 a year and to be certified. This is $60 a year. So in that context, it doesn't seem overly outrageous.
I'm sorry to be walking in late, and I always get hesitant to ask questions because you just know that whatever you ask is what was answered when you were out. Anyway, if it's already been answered, just nod your head, and I'll get it from somebody else later. The $4 a month or the $5 a month figure that we hear, how actually is that collected? Is it an annual billing? Is it a what's the process for that charge?
We used to go biannually, but we decided to go to birthday renewal.
Mm-hmm.
We were required to go out 2 years soon after your birthday, and that's basically where we're heading right now. So the initial charge was quite shocking to all of us. Mine was around $200. I'm born in December, so December babies always just hit the heart and that sort of thing. But it's collected every 2 years on your birthday.
So there'd be $120 for 2 years.
Right.
Plus the $5 a month from the period before.
Well, it's actually from March. March was the day we once we normally renewed. So you go to March and then to your birthday. Oh, yeah.
In the future, it'll be 120.
Yes.
Renewal and
for 2 years.
Okay.
On your birthday.
I think this is part of the confusion that created some of the difficulty because some of the renewals became very complex on this, as Ms. Thompson indicated. This birth month renewal became awkward and confusing because it would be up to 48 months of renewal at $5 a month. So it was going for a period of just 1 month short of a full 4 years.
Yeah.
And so what we have is we've got a whole group that are paid on the basis of $5. And then in the first hearing of this particular issue, the question of $5 versus $3 versus $4 came up, and I think the legislative fiscal office is prepared to make a case for the $4, but also recognize that there is cash that has been collected of $5 for up to 47 months in advance, and that's and as Ms. Thompson indicated, to refund that would take $10,000, $9,000 to $10,000. And so what they've done is and that's been calculated into some numbers that legislative fiscal has to show that they still have sufficient under the current operations to go forward for a period of up to two biennia to work the issues through. So I think that was what was confusing. And let me also address the fact that some were concerned about the licensure. Each of the machines that are presently taking the radiological exam or that are shooting the ionized radiation, each of the machines are licensed to the hospital or to the clinic that presently has those machines. And the concern was, could the clinic, could the hospital, could they go ahead and, in as much as they were operated under their care, supervision, control, could they go ahead and be responsible for
the work that was being done on those machines. I think the answer that we came up with previously was, and there's some correspondence, and I have received a call today from Dr. Ken Stevens, who is the MD physician on the board. The indication was that, just as Glenn has indicated, it's very important that everyone have the opportunity to be trained and to be licensed, whether that license is for the full rad tech technician or whether it's under the limited permit holder. And the limited permit holder is another issue that we will discuss just a little bit further that needs to be addressed as part of the budget process. But so what came out of the earlier hearing was that we know that we've got 3,000 license holders. We know that about 3/4 of those are the full rad technicians, and that 1/4 of them are the limited permit holders, and they all have training. As a matter of fact, I think in some states, training is less on this particular profession, this may have come out in just one of the discussions. I think it came out in my discussion this morning with Dr. Stevens that in some states they have less continuing professional education and overall professional requirements on radiologic technicians than they do in this state on veterinarians who use radiation just to examine bones and animals, dogs and cats and cows. So
does that speak to the problem of this state or that state?
Well, it probably speaks to the problem of that state. Oregon has a higher standard, and I'm grateful for that. But again, some states have very little requirement for the radiological technicians, and Oregon has a higher standard. And I think it's because of that higher standard that perhaps there have been some folks that have been concerned about the level of funds that are required in order to operate. And I think that's in part what caused some of the earlier concerns and actually withdrew the radiologic technology board from the original fee bills and summary bills. Let's see, other questions of the members. We can go ahead and hear from Linda Ames on behalf of the Department of Administrative Service. Linda?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, I'm Linda Ames with Department of Administrative Services. We have a handout with the development of the budget materials, and I'm going to go through quickly. This handout does show the development of the governor's budget with one small technical adjustment, which is why you see the governor's revised. And it is based, as we've been talking about, on a $5 a month fee. If it is decided that a smaller fee would be appropriate, the budget would need to be adjusted somewhat. The governor's revised the budget is about $410,000, which is all other funds, and 3 full-time equivalent positions. This is a 36% increase from the 97-99 legislatively approved budget, primarily the result of inflation and policy packages for contract computer assistance and increasing the current part-time clerical positions. The budget is contingent on approval of fees in the House Bill 5065, which is the fee bill that accompanies this budget. The 97 legislature established birthday renewal for the board. In the transition of moving to a birthday renewal system, means that you get a lot of revenues this biennium in 97-99, but it will need to carry you through 99-01 because you will get relatively few revenues in that biennium. That was part of the reason that a fee increase was needed in 97-99. Then the cash flow and revenues stabilized in the 2001-03 biennium. the second page goes briefly through the development of the budget. The 97-99 legislatively adopted budget was about $291,000 and 2.4 full-time equivalent positions. The emergency board added about $9,500 for state employee compensation increases, the standard increases. In the current service level budget, there were two adjustments made, one for position and inflationary costs, which added over $36,000, and there was phase out of two one-time costs, one for training and one for computer hardware and software, which decreased the budget about $6,400. So the budget has four policy packages, 261 workload issues, contains the increase in the part-time clerical position to a full-time position. It also provides for additional contract computer support services. And finally, it adds limitation on revenues to support the review of continuing education offerings from providers. This is a part of House Bill 2178. As an update on that House bill, it has passed both the House and Senate, but with amendments which remove the language allowing the board to charge fees for reviewing that continuing education. So $2,500 of this package would need to be removed from the budget to be consistent with House Bill 2178.
So the 49,396 would have to be reduced by $2,500?
Right.
Okay.
Package 262, board and staff training, provides for a contract strategic planning assistance to the board and also for attendance at the Attorney General's Public Law Conference for a total of $7,700 other funds. Package 263, review of administrative rules, provides for some additional Attorney General hours and assist in revising the agency's administrative rules for $11,900 in other funds. And finally, the last package, 264, the revision of the limited permit examination, provides for contract assistance and mailing expenses to review the limited permit examination. And that package is $11,550. And on the last page, there's a small technical adjustment. There was a mistake in the budgeting for the package 252 for the conference. It should have been for six people, and it was put in at nine. So the governor's recommended budget would be $5,050 for that.
And the six people attending public law conference, that's which conference is that? I'm sorry.
I believe every 2 years the Attorney General puts on a...
That's the one following the legislature. Right.
Make sure that we implement your bill correctly, Chair Whitman.
Okay. Thank you very much. At this time, I think we should go ahead and open, in addition to House Bill 5058, which is the board itself, we probably need to open 5065, the fee bill, as well. So I'm going to open both of those, are presently open and subject to discussion. We have been discussing the fee issue as well. Senator Crowe?
I'd like to ask for representative of Department of Administrative Services, what fee level does make sense. The budget itself is based on fee level of $5 a month, right?
The budget was developed based on $5. That budget allowed the agency to do the things included in these four policy packages and also allowed a comfortable ending balance. So that we were sure they would not need to go back for another fee increase, they would get through 0103.
So was your best judgment that that made sense?
Yes. I maybe should also add that at $4, I think what you see is that they could not support the old policy packages. if you still wanted to get through 0103 without another fee increase. But it does give them enough to continue at their current service level, that is, performing the basic functions at the level that they do now without any enhancements.
Does the fee bill simply continue the $5 fee, or does it increase it, or lower it, or what bill we're going to do it?
Chair, some of your trouble. You know, since it's been pulled out of the other fee bill, I'm not even sure at this point how it's written.
Well,
is it at $5?
I think it's open.
Or is it blank?
It's a blank bill at this point. It's open. It's open for us to determine the level of support that we determine is necessary to provide the services to the state. Other questions of our panelists from Department of Administrative Service, I mean. We do have, we do have some public testimony, and what we could do is go ahead and have the public testimony at this time, and then come back for other testimony. We have signed up for public testimony Mr. Randy Harp, and we would like to invite Mr. Harp to come forward, if you would please, and offer testimony. Go right ahead, and we'll let Mr. Harp start off, and then you can introduce yourself as well. Mr. Harp, would you like to introduce yourself for the record?
My name is Randy Harp of Eugene, Oregon. Chair Butler and honored representative and committee members, thanks for letting us speak. I'm the past president of the Oregon Society of Radiologic Technologists two times, and the current chair of the Legislative Liaison Committee, which is a six-member committee which is made up of mainly past presidents to deal with any issues that might apply to the public, might apply to the stakeholders, the other technologists in the state, and to Jerry Kremel, our honored guest up here, who is an RT as well, and she has an extra certificate in mammography, so she really knows about the training levels that are required to get the diagnosis that we need so that we can treat the patients. And we're here just for a support mechanism for the OBRT, Oregon Board of Radiology Technologists, our licensing board. And we have come to the consensus with the meetings that we've had in Bend with different stakeholders, people in our districts around the state, that the $4 level is a level that we all could live with as far as an amount. When most of the technologists in the state were hit with the longer period of licensing, that was the thing that probably surprised most of them when they were going from paying $70 for a two-year period, and then they got a bill for $235, which is for a three-year and 11-month period. A lot of them were a little bit upset. And so we kind of came to a compromise on amounts so that these people would both be willing to accept the increase, which happens to be about a 3% increase if you figure it out from 1991, and that would be the $4 amount.
3% per annum?
Yeah, correct. And so that seemed to please most of these folks. They realized that there is a cost of living increase, and it's very expensive to operate our board dealing with all the government agencies that they have to deal with. I know they want a dollar every time they talk to you or touch something that you've done, and there's many of these agencies in our state. And so we're here just to kind of answer questions, maybe along the technical sense, and to offer support to them on the $4 idea, because we're kind of being the trade association, kind of representing the folks out there that are working in the trenches, and we are kind of cognizant of the money that they make, and that we want to keep some of that in the bank.
Thank you very much, Senator Troy is recognized.
What is the average wage of a radiological technician? What do they get a month?
Chair Butler, Senator Trope. Someplace around probably the $30,000 range on up would be a good guess. There was a national survey that was done on the West Coast hospitals, and that range is someplace in the lower $30,000 range. It was kind of a synopsis of 19 West Coast hospitals.
$5 a month is $60 a year?
Correct.
Okay. That seems too much for you.
From a jump from what we had before, which was about $36 a month, yes, that represented like a 60% increase. We thought that was rather high.
Question. What do you buy with your licensure? What does it do for you?
What this licensure does for us is there are federal guidelines which we all follow when we take our national board, and there is really not a mechanism which really governs any problems that might come up. And if we have licensure at the state level, it offers a layer that can deal with issues and problems that might occur. At the national level, that wouldn't happen. Also, it mandates people that are taking x-rays in the state of Oregon to have had some training. There are 20 states where that isn't happening, where anybody that walks in off the street can start taking x-rays, and that is just a little bit scary. As Representative Butler has stated, in Oregon, we have to have a 20-hour class on radiation use and safety to x-ray your PET CAT, and we wouldn't like that to be our highest level of training in Oregon. When you get in, particularly in rural areas, we like to make sure that there are trained, qualified people out there that have either an RT, which is a radiology technologist, which is the 2 to 4 year degree, or have gone to one of our limited permit classes, which is up to 126 hours of training, and that being the lower amount. And we want to make sure that the people have the knowledge that they need not to misdiagnose, not to take poor x-rays. And so that's kind of where we're coming from.
Well, having a license process guarantees that. I don't know how your license compares to that of other professions, but my guess is that it's within the ballpark at $5, isn't it?
Representative Butler, Senator Crow, this has been probably the biggest issue. If we would look at Representative Butler's folder, this probably burgeoning at the best. It's probably 5 pounds. I don't know, but it's big. A lot of stakeholders' letters would be in there stating that they think $5 is too much.
Okay.
Thank you very much. A couple of items that I wanted to make sure that we understood was that the full rad technician was a 4-year course. Is that correct?
Representative Butler, that's a 2 to 4 years, 24 months to 4 years. There's two programs in the state of Oregon.
And then that the limited permit holder is 126 hours of training?
Yes.
Okay. And there's no misunderstanding. The majority of the folks who are licensed here, they also license on a national arrangement as well. Can you tell us about the national board that you license with?
Not Representative Butler and committee people. We, at the national level, we go to our 2-year program, which is a minimum of 27 months in the state of Oregon. And we are trained at the college level, and we take college curriculum plus hospital curriculum plus clinic curriculum. And I took radiation therapy curriculum when I was in my program. And we set for what's called a national board from the American Registry of Radiology Technologists, and they've been around for approximately 70 years. And what they do is they are the national agency that governs the 221,000 radiology technologists in the United States, and they set up a battery of examinations which we have to take and pass prior to our being able to get a full license in radiology technology.
That license then is the American Registry of Radiologic Technicians, is that right?
Yes.
That's your national license board. How much do you pay for that, if I can ask?
I'm not sure what the rates are. It's been 20 years since I took mine, so I think they're talking about, I don't know what kind of fees they have now for that. I know that we pay yearly dues, not dues, but registration for keeping that credential current.
And
they're $15 a year, right?
$15 a year. And then they were looking at somewhere between $36, $48, and $60 for the state in addition to the $15 a year. Okay, are there other questions for Mr. Hart at this point? Yes, Senator, Representative Leonard.
Mr. Hart, you support the $4 a month increase.
Yes, Senator, yes.
And, but however, back in March, you wrote a letter to the chair of the Subcommittee on Trade and Transportation, Senator Cannon, supporting the $5 a month increase.
Yes, sir.
And so what has caused you to change your mind?
Chair Butler, Representative Leonard, an outpouring from the radiology technologists, of which there are approximately 2,300 in the state, and we've received many emails, many upset members, because the way this bill came about was a year ago when they had increased the amount that had gone to the lumber permit holders a year ago, and they're pretty much unspoken. In other words, they're not a real verbal group. There's approximately 700 of those folks. When it came to the RTs in the spring, when we started getting our bill for our renewals, that's when a lot of these people were getting the $235 bills instead of a $70 bill. And that kind of opens your eyes up. You don't realize that until you get the bill in your hands with a lot of the stakeholders in the state. And that is when their eyes kind of open and the radiology technologists are rather verbal. And so they wrote their representatives and explained their concerns. And some of their concerns have been met. Of course, we have gone around state with my professional association, and I know that Leanne Thompson of the board has had some stakeholder meetings several times, but without very much of a turnout. Like, I think at one meeting, the only person there was a person from the professional association, the Oregon Society of Radiology Technologists.
So you say fee increases for as much as $275? Is that what you said?
$235
divided by 5 is, excuse me, that's $47 a month.
Right.
47 months. And understanding that the difference between that and what they would have got at $4 a month is $47. They would have paid $47 less. Do you think they would have been as? I guess I'm more curious. Is this a function of the way they now are paying their fees as opposed to the monthly fee? I mean, would you not have gotten the same kind of criticisms given that the way they're collecting the fee now is for up to 47 months?
Correct.
And it was more of a reaction to that than it was whether it was $4 to $5.
Correct. Representative Chair Butler, Representative Leonard, I believe in hindsight, which is always worth something, that if we would have gone to a birth renewal that was less than 2 years, that probably would have slid right by without any reactions. But as it's stretched out so long, that opens people's eyes up. And then they say, what's happening here?
Further question.
Yes.
You have said in your letter March 16th, where you support the $5 increase, that the OBRT accomplishes much with a small budget and could do more given an increase. Do you still believe that?
Chair Butler, Representative Letter. Yes, I believe they could do more with more money.
I guess I'm not very familiar with the profession other than as a consumer. And I mean, you're just trusting that they know what they're doing.
An absorber is...
An absorber, yeah. But I'm sure that you believe in the highest standards for your profession, and that if there are those that aren't meeting those standards, there should be the resources to investigate that and enforce your standards. For those of us who trust that you, you know, when you point that thing at us, you know what you're doing.
Chair Butler, Representative Lennon. This is a hard thing to...
Don't go there, Jeff.
I believe that when we started the radiology, the Oregon Society of Radiology Technologists brought the licensure into the state of Oregon, it was an item that was brought up by the radiology technologists in Oregon, totally funded by them, to bring up the current level of safety that we have in Oregon, and we're still in support of that mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that our board is doing a fine job with what they have to work with. I also believe that I know that we're going to revisit the budget items again, and is it the next biennium or two bienniums, and that at that time maybe we would look at another unoffensive way to increase those funds, maybe the amounts. And that would be a thing that we could probably look at very closely and carefully, not to get anybody too excited, but to let them know in advance that there will be an increase.
So, Mr. Chair, can the board operate on $4?
For the record, I'm Jerry Cromwell, and I am a benchmark technologist. I can't talk very well today. But one of the things that is brought out is the ART, and in House Bill 2178, the ART has been agreed upon to be their continuing education provider, and to accept them, their continuing education. So that drops the need for a lot of paperwork down and a lot of work for the board that would normally have been, that they would have to take care of.
So that means they can get by on $4, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Let me ask if I can follow that up. So who would oversee that you had been doing the training provided by this association?
The ARRT requires that we do 24 hours of continuing education every 2 years, and we have to, when we pay our fee into that, to a registry, and we get a card that says that. And I've been an X-ray tech for over 30 years, and the standard is the ARRT, not the Oregon. Not that the Oregon is not good, but the standard for the whole United States and parts of other countries is the ARRT. And that's been used forever. In fact, the standard for the FDA, for anyone doing mammography in the United States, has to be registered by the ARRT. In mammography.
But as I understand it, the board can oversee the certifications for $4 a month, but they can't investigate complaints at that amount. And so I'm not,
I believe with the reduction by using the ARRT, this goes with 2178, that they will have some additional funds. Plus, there's some additional areas in the budget that might be used to this, so that $4 would be acceptable.
Representative Leonard, I just share with you that there have been no requests for additional investigation, and we do not reduce any investigation. There is a private investigation, in the current service level, a private investigation, and that continues at a rolled up rate.
That's what I read. They had to get rid of that. I thought that went somewhere.
Can be subbed out in effect to the ARRT, or the American Registry of Radiologic Technicians, technicians, is that right?
It's technology.
Technologists. Okay. That's somewhat similar to what the CPAs do
they've divested themselves of the oversight of continued professional education. And I think they have the national take care of a portion of that at this point, so if they don't have that as part of the state reason. Other questions, Senator Lund?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. As I read this letter, Campaign for Patient Rights, and it says, looking into inappropriate and abusive behavior, what that means? What kind of appropriate, inappropriate and abusive behavior?
I've been in technology for 30 years, and I've never seen abuse or any type of improper behavior. But that would probably have to be dealt with someone who's done the investigation.
Who is that person, James Davis? The person is not here. That I have.
I haven't seen that. So, okay.
Chair Butler, Senator Lim, I could probably respond to that. In the field that we're in and in the courses that we have, we're taught to do certain things when we are x-raying people in the reproductive areas. We try to shield them when we can, also use the least amount of radiation that we can in that area to get the best pictures that we can get. And so without the budget and the fees, we don't have a mechanism to fund what we have in Oregon, which is a high level of quality right now with the people that we have trained. If you get 500 rads of radiation to your reproductive organs, it can cause sterilization. And so it is a concern. And so we are careful with it. And so that's another reason why we need budget and fees to pay for this mechanism to occur so that we can have the public safety.
Okay. Thank you. One more question.
Senator Van Collier.
The radiologists, are they mostly full-time workers or are they part-time workers?
Chair Butler, Senator Lim, there is a smattering of all kinds of part-time onto full-time people that work more than full-time in some areas. Probably there isn't a way for me to look at statistics and know what those numbers might be, but I know there's approximately 3,000 people that are taking x-rays in the state of Oregon that are RTs or limited permits.
Someone told me just a moment ago that the number is 2,300, and now you're talking about 3,000.
Representative Butler, Senator Lim, the numbers are 2,300 radiologic technologists and approximately 700 limited permit folks, which are the 126-hour trained people. Those numbers are approximate.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Pence.
Two relatively quick questions. One, within every work culture is something different. Are these fees always paid by the employee, or sometimes are they paid by the employer?
I'm sure about Lur and Representative Hansen. I would say, and I would not be able to have completely accurate numbers, but I know of no place that pays for these fees. There is an occasional orthopedic office that might pay for a fee like this as part of their employee package.
Thank you.
Not hardly any.
The other one, do you have some kind of a industry, how much business does this industry and do it annually in Oregon? Is anybody ever, is it $30 million or $3
billion? Chair Butler, Representative Hansen, I heard one time that the average radiology technologist across the country produces varying amounts of revenue for the employers. They don't get to pocket very much of that. They get an hourly rate of around $11 to $17 an hour or something. And some seen around up to $400,000 a year is the kind of revenue. That's in a busy place. And that's not taking into account all the costs and all that. So I don't know if that answered your question. But
with the $4 per month fee, can you buy the same kind of safety protection as you can with the $5 fee? So we're trying to figure out whether you need more money or less money, whether you can do all you need to do with $4 or whether you need $5 to do everything that needs to be done. Tell us, which is which?
Chair Butler, Senator Trow, we do believe the $4 mat is reasonable, and to do what we are doing now plus a little increase, because we have some other mechanisms in here that will produce a little bit of the extra revenue. One of them is, was mentioned by Jerry, the acceptance of the continuing education by our national association, the American Registry, should reduce 2,300 people's worth of paperwork that they have to look at our continuing education every year and verify that they won't have to do that because National will be doing that. That will get rid of quite a quantity of paperwork. Also, they can charge for the actual cost of giving the room permit examination, whereas they couldn't do that before. There should be additional revenue there. There's some other usual and customary charges that they can charge for now that they couldn't before. Permits of all certificates and reproductions. These will all produce some money. They'll have to do a survey, I'm sure, on the amount that it costs to have the examination of the lumber permits, but I'm sure that they'll be able to produce some more revenue there.
So, in other words, you're saying they can get by on $4 and maintain everything.
Yeah.
Do people agree with you?
Chair Butler and Senator Crow, I would have to speak for my 400 members of my organization and say yes, we believe that they can.
And your 400 members are 400 out of 2,700 or 2,100?
Correct.
Or something?
Correct.
Yeah.
Senator, Mr. Chairman, the issue is not whether or not some brilliant co-chair, sub-chair, or other political person in the building decided that four was a better number than five or that three wasn't enough and four was more better. It's a structural division within the profession itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the issue here isn't a nefarious plot to save money. Notwithstanding the fact that Senator Lynn and I went to the same dentist's children and used to walk into the office and say to our parents, so we're going to be doing x-rays on your kids now. By the way, can we heat that coffee for you?
See, that's why I'm so concerned. You see how you turned out.
Well, we so
we don't want that to happen.
Okay.
You moved to Eastern Oregon, but you can't come
out of the radiation.
A little too much radiation.
Notwithstanding all those things, Mr. Chairman, I think the venture recommendation is adequate to do the job, and that's the one that we had before us.
Okay. We'll get back to that in just a moment. I think we're going to go ahead and let Ms. Thompson. Thank you very much, Ms. Cromwell and Mr. Harp, for your input. I think we're going to let Leanne go ahead and have one more comment. Certainly.
This is a summary of 72 cases by the investigators.
Chair Butler, members of the committee, it is. I spoke with our investigator as he prepared this report. He's put kind of general categories of investigations on the front and talked about the difficulties that he sees. He's a retired Portland police officer, so he's not a professional in the field, but he's someone who's been dealing with enforcement and public safety for a long time. We're dealing with excessive exposure to ionizing radiation. We're also dealing with issues of misdiagnosis, because unless the proper calibrations exist, which is easier, I'm told, now that we have smart machines. But unless the proper calibration is there, the x-rays have to be repeated so that the physician is able to make the proper diagnosis. And that's where that comes in. If you look at the cases, we've got 72. That's in this biennium. What that indicates is a biennium where we have been under incredible pressure to save money. Our investigator told me last week I could work 40 hours a week for the RadTech board going out and investigating cases. You don't have the money for it. I curtail every expense I can and delegated to staff everything I can so that this is absolutely the bare bones minimum. That's in terms of investigation. In terms of the American Registry of Radiologic Technologists, That's a private, voluntary organization. It's not accountable to Oregonians. It's not accountable to the citizens of Oregon. It's not accountable to the legislature of Oregon. Now, the Joint Council on Accreditation of Hospital Organizations may require that some red text be registered with the ARRT. That, too, is a private organization. It isn't subject to legislative oversight. It isn't responsive to citizen input. And those rules for both of those two private organizations can change at any time. They're not under your control. We are. Secondly, not all RAD techs are ARRT registered. It's a totally unjustified assumption that we could save 2,300 persons' paperwork because we can't tell you. We don't have an adequate database. We don't keep that data. I cannot tell you today how many licensed RAD techs in Oregon are ARRT registered. I don't know that, and I don't think that anybody else does, but I could be wrong in that. I know that I don't know that. Thirdly, no limited permit holders are registered with ARRT. So I wish there were this sort of magic wand we could wave and we suddenly not have all this paperwork. The way we've dealt with this has been to say we'll take a sample of the continuing education offerings and require a sample of our licensees to submit verification that they've taken this. We still would have to verify that the ARRT card is valid. Those cards are subject to fraud and misuse as well. So I don't see that big reduction in workload. The other issue is the standards for continuing education. ARRT has very different standards. As Senator Farioli mentioned, there's division between the board and the professional society on the issue of the adequacy of the standards of the ARRT card. I just went back to an ARRT conference on their nickel. They said that they would be willing to accept, because Oregon standards are higher, they would be willing to accept our CE credits as evidence. If we can present them with an identifying number, the number of CE credits obtained, and the dates they were obtained, they'll accept our standards as meeting their standards, because they recognize that our standards are
high. I understand this, Thompson, that 24 hours of ARRT is not the same then as the state of Oregon.
That's absolutely correct, Chair Butler.
And one other thing, Chair Butler, Dr. Kim Stevens, the gentleman you talked to today, was the president of ARRT, and he wrote a letter to another subcommittee that was listening to this saying that we should not, as the state of Oregon, recognize ARRT card as evidence of education. And there's a number of reasons why, and I'm sure I can bore you guys to your eyes while I'm on why, but our standards for 20 years have been higher. ARRT, just this biennium, started requiring continuing education. It is entirely possible that a person carrying an ARRT card has no education and will continue to have the card, so there's no way that we know in the state of Oregon whether or not that person has actually attended any continuing education. I mean, that's the way it's set up.
What is the Oregon Board, Oregon Board of Radiology Technicians' annual requirement or biannual requirement?
We require 24 hours, but it has to have a demonstrable relationship to radiologic technology. It is entirely possible for someone who is ARRT registered, which I am. I'm not knocking the card. I carry the card. I have been a therapy tech my own 20-some-odd years. They can go to a college class, an English class, a biology class. They can do a lot of things and get credit for. We refuse to allow that in the state of Oregon. We contend that a college class in Spanish has nothing to do with radiation therapy. And that's why we've objected to carrying the card as evidence of continuing education. And the senator over here is absolutely right. What we are all involved in here is a structural fight. Bottom line.
Okay, I might just ask Leanne, Ms. Thompson, relative to the investigators, you don't have anything in the original packages that talks to an investigator. Were you anticipating that you were wanting an increase in investigators at this time?
Chair Butler, in the course of looking at our ending cash balance and trying to figure out how we could squeeze as many services as possible into a $4 a month fee, the item that was reduced was professional services, and that's where the contract investigator is from. I've been holding off until we got a final budget. I mean, I was raised not to spend more than I had, so we've been holding off on our final budget to do more of a push in two areas. One is investigations. We, during the last biennium, received authority from the governor to conduct lead checks. We also have the capacity. We can't do the national checks, but we can do Verifax checks as well. But those Verifax checks are $7.50 a piece. We can do the lead checks at the Board of Nursing for $3 a piece plus the other staff time that's involved to do follow-up. So we've been holding back on those. Those are the parts that are cut when we get to $4 a month. Now, we can do some, but we're limited. I mean, I've heard it mentioned, too, that the FDA and M2SA require ARRT. One of the largest cases we had during this past biennium, and we are committed to keeping confidentiality as required by law, but one of the largest cases we had was a case that cost a couple of $1,000s that was related to M2SA, a number of investigations.
Excuse me, when was that, Ms. Thompson?
98-07-01.
98-07-01. That was failure to report a violation by our team's
right.
Patient abuse, filing false reports, excessive radiation to patients. Now, recognizing that, did you propose any legislation that perhaps, in addition to a $1,000 fine, that a radiologic technician would be after having been accused and found guilty of such a violation, that they would pay for their own prosecution against them in this matter?
Chair Butler, the board proposed that last session. The board may well propose it next session. This session, we were concerned with just handling the fee increase in the transition to birth month renewal.
Okay.
So the $1,000 with no additional overhead, recognizing that you had thousands of dollars in just a single investigation, wasn't it?
Chair Butler, and worse than that, we spent all that money to find out that no one was guilty of those charges. What we did find was that there were procedures which led to compromised patient safety in response to our investigation, and with the way that the board, by taking a full day of assistant attorney general time, a full day of board chair time, a full day of staff time, plus significant staff follow-up investigation, was able to very gently help the institution change the way it conducts its business with patients, but no one was guilty of those charges.
So the patient abuse was just a charge.
Correct.
I see. Okay. Is that the case in others of these? I know three of the drug convictions, so that must have been something else. Or shoplifting, that must be by one of the members of the. What happens? What's the sanction for shoplifting?
Chair Butler, the board has an investigations committee as well as an investigator, and what happens is the facts of the case are determined. A report is presented to the board's investigations committee. That committee deliberates and either recommends follow-up investigation. In some cases, the investigator has been sent out to reaches of the state, to Medford, to Pendleton, to not to your hometown, but I'm sure the Radtechs there don't ever do anything untoward. But the board does send the investigator out. If the facts that are developed in the course of that investigation are not sufficient to determine wrongdoing or lack of it, the board will require the licensee to come in and demonstrate. I've seen a radiologic technologist demonstrating the techniques that he used to move a patient around on a table, and for radiologic technologists, it makes perfect sense. It was, and they named the position, and they show how they twisted or turned. There was an elderly patient who had a broken collarbone who believed that he had been mistreated, and it was the thorough investigation of all the medical reports in the field, plus having the radiologic technologist come in, that satisfied the board that there was not guilt in this case. But that's the kind of thorough examination of the facts that the board has tried to do within the limited means at its disposal.
One final question relative to the investigations. One shows a revocation of course of study. Is that an indication that the course of study was perhaps Spanish, or has been indicated something that isn't germane to the professional licensure?
Sure, Butler, that might be a reasonable assumption. It would be incorrect in this case. We have limited permit courses of study, and we had one machine manufacturer who, at the time that they had been approved, agreed to provide all aspects of the curriculum. Subsequent to that, decided they cared more about selling machines than they did in offering the full curriculum, and so we revoked their course of study with their agreement.
Are there other questions of Ms. Thompson, members of the present, before we go on to the work session?
I can just ask about the unlicensed practice. What do those usually prove to be? There's a lot of those. Actually, people who are not trained.
Chair Butler, Representative Leonard, sometimes it's people who are not trained. Sometimes it's people who think that registration or passage of the National Registry Examination gives them permission to practice in Oregon. We've talked to a lot of people about this. We've talked to universities. We've talked to the professional association. We've tried to send out as much information as possible. There are a lot of those. What we tell the licensees is, as a piece of paper, a license means nothing. It's significant. Lies in the fact that it shows that, number one, you're paying attention to your job, you're attending to the details, you're very careful about how you do your work, and you are accountable to the citizens and the legislature of Oregon.
Thank you very much. Are there further questions before we go on to work session then? If not, we'll go into work session then on both House Bills 5058. And 5065 relative to both the budget and the fees of the Board of Radiologic Technology. And we'll go ahead and have Mr. Nickram. Let me say this, that I do appreciate the rather extensive additional work that Ms. Nickram has done in regard to trying to sort out the items that needed to be sorted out, because we do have a licensing period, as I say, that as we found, it goes for a period of 47 months, and so it made it just a little bit more work on her part to go through this. So, Christy, maybe go ahead.
Thank you. I handed out two packets of information that what you had at your desk. To start with was the analysis of the governor's recommended budget, and this is kind of a fluid write-up, and some of the numbers are being changed even today, and it'll be updated as we go along. I also handed out some cash flow spreadsheets and information. Since the board had their budget before the transportation committee, there's been a lot of negotiation and so forth, and so my recommendations are based on a $4 a month fee. And this first cash estimated cash flow at $4 a month, this shows you approximately this using projections what will occur over the next two bienniums. I've worked closely, and I want to give Linda Ames from the Department of Administrative Services credit. She's done a lot of work also on these spreadsheets. So the board, as you see by this first document, has a very large ending balance, 23 months of operating expenses, and that's because they've been going through this transition of the birth month. And now that everyone, almost everyone, has renewed at this new method, now in the next biennium, there will be very few revenues. And so if they are getting $4 a month fees, by the end of the next biennium, they'll have 6.89 months of operating expenses. And one of the things I handed out...
Is that a reduction in fees? Did the E-Board put them up to 5? Have they been charging 5?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, they have been charging 5. All the renewals were at $5 a month. But
okay.
These revenues reflect $4. So there's built into these spreadsheets the fact that they can give the credit and they'll still have these ending balances.
Okay. So these ending balances stand even though they're going to give some of the money back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They'll have an adequate amount. The Department of Administrative Services did a report during the interim that recommended that these small health-related licensing boards have a minimum of 3 months ending balances, depending on their size. If they're real small, they could have more. And if they're real large ones, then they can afford to have the 3 months of operating expenses. So the problem with going below 4 is by the end of the biennium after, 2001-03, their operating expenses would be very low, or their operating balance would be very low. They would have less than 4.67 months. So I think my recommendation would be no less than $4 a month. And these also assume reductions in their budget. So one of the other things that I've handed out to you are the memo and the spreadsheet. If you have any questions about the spreadsheet before I go on to recommendations.
Well, Mr. Chair, the issue of the investigation is of a concern to me. Do you agree with what we've heard that at the $4 a month level there will not be the money to do the investigations of the complaints that come in?
Chair, Representative Leonard, my understanding is that included in their current service level they do have funds for investigators. There aren't any cuts in that part of their budget. I am recommending cutting some of their professional services. And that is where the investigator is paid, but what is left would pay for the investigator that they're using.
My understanding was the investigator was unable to keep up with the number of complaints coming in as it was, and by cutting professional services more than what we did, sounds as though there will be even less money for the investigator. Am I misunderstanding something?
The amount of professional services that was approved in the legislatively approved budget was $28,000.
2 years ago?
Right, for 97-99.
Mm-hmm.
And as of the end of April, they had spent $8,000 of that, just over $20,000 in savings, approximately $20,000 in savings, unspent professional services as of the end of April. So my recommendation includes reducing professional services for part of that period.
So, can you ask folks why they've been reducing there? What accounts for that? Since from what your investigator said, you lack resources to do the investigation. You've been reducing those resources?
Chair Butler, Senator Trove, Representative Leonard, members of the committee, we've been holding back on doing investigations because we've had 6 full months of conflict about exactly how much money we were going to have. And I was loath to overspend because the message has been pretty constant, hold back on your expenditures. So we've done just the essentials. We've dipped down just a little. There's much more that we could do and we would like to do. But again, we were scheduled to be under $4,000 in the 19th month of this biennium. That's what Anglais told me 2.5 years ago. So the very first thing we did was cut staffing to build up the ending cash balance. And we've held back on every expenditure of any kind during this biennium in order to save that ending cash balance because it hasn't been clear how much money would actually be there. So we've been trying to be prudent, but what that means is that we've underexpended. It was hard to figure out where the balance point should be. There's much more work that we'd like to do in terms of investigation. And the other part of that professional services would have been used for getting a database that would have been adequate, that would not have been a snapshot, but would have given us the capacity to integrate data. And so I wouldn't have driven my budget analysts crazy because I had to hand count things. So that's the reason that there's money left in that category.
Just taking a quick summary here of 1999 for the first 4 months. It looks like it was about 4 per month, and then for 1998, 32, looks like it was about 3 per month, 32 on a 12-month basis. Out of, and then 1997, I don't have a full year there, perhaps just a half year there.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like, let's see, 2, 4. Yeah, looks like there was probably nearly 6 per month during the first quarter of the biennium, and then 3 per month for the next 2 quarters, and then 4 per month for the last quarter of the biennium. Okay. Further questions? I'm not sure that we've resolved anything in that regard. We have $8,000 having been expended, and by your calculation, Ms. McKinney, what would we end up with for investigations in this next biennium, using the fact that we are not going to or that were taken into consideration if there was excess by $20,000 in the last biennium.
Mr. Chair, one of the recommendations is to reduce professional services by $15,000, and this would leave $13,000 in professional services for the investigator.
For the biennium?
For the biennium.
That seems draconian. Usually pay your investigator. Be full-time?
Chair Butler, Senator Trump, not at all. We share him with other boards.
Mm-hmm.
Some thought has been given to could we get someone on staff so we could have more reliability in terms of take care of our stuff and do it right now. We haven't had the resources to do. Wanted to, again, hold back and not overextend. There's plenty of work to do, and the investigator could also be used to do outreach work to reduce the number of unlicensed practice. The board wants to have a committee during the next biennium about quality assurance in the field, because, after all, continuing education is supposed to mean that people do what they're supposed to do when they're doing their job. Radiation protection services, which licenses the machines, is in the health division greatly underfunded, can't do as much of that as it would want to, and doesn't have a database that they think will be 5 years out of date before it's fixed. So there's some issues about keeping up with what needs to happen.
We're basically reacting, and that's all this budget's done is just to react. And I don't believe for a minute there's only 3 drug abusers in my profession. That would be naive to believe my profession is any different than anyone else's group in the world. And I heard in 30 years, never saw an assault or drug abuse. And, you know, I've never seen a murder, but I don't believe for a minute that murder is okay. And it's just, we're reacting. It's all we're doing is reacting. And I would think we all deserve better than just reacting.
Okay. Other questions as we proceed? Let's continue with Ms. Nathan.
I've handed out a spreadsheet and a memo outlining the recommendations. They could turn to the spreadsheet. We'll go through that.
Mm-hmm. Do they have a copy of it?
Mm-hmm. The table at the top is some historical information. And the large section in the lower part of the spreadsheet on the first page will just start with the legislatively approved budget and walk through the adjustments that have been made. The total legislatively approved budget was $300,787 with 2.4 FTE. The adjustments that have been made from net costs of $97.99 were a reduction of $4,657 in administrative adjustments. Merit increases were $17,094. The vacancy factor, which is package 010, was $11,531. This was an attrition adjustment due to the difference between the old and the new executive officer salaries. The non-take personal service costs were $160. The phased out programs, which Linda Ames discussed, were $6,395. Those were for computer training, hardware, and software purposes. Inflation added $12,742, and state government service charges were reduced by $190, bringing us to the current service level of $331,072.
Okay, that brings us to the current service level. I'm wondering, we have with us now, and I failed to recognize him, I appreciate Representative Messerly calling my attention to that. We do have present 2 legislators in the room who I believe have come to testify. So we come to the current service level at that particular point. I wonder if we could go ahead and invite Representative Crummel and Representative Canole, if you'd like to come forward. Apologize for not recognizing you earlier. I have my nose in that book here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Tim Knopf, State Representative from District 54, and with me is Representative Jerry Kremel. We have been working with the RAD techs, the X-ray technicians, most of this session. One of the reasons we have is because early on when we got here, the majority of our mail came from these technicians who were concerned about the budget increase and the fee increase that went along with that, and that the fee increase was essentially being instated before the legislature had the opportunity to approve the increase. And that was going from $3 to $5. And in talking with them, we found out that there were other issues with their board and the fact that everything didn't seem to be as it usually is with most boards, where you have a board who has what I consider either clients or stakeholders. In this case, they would be the X-ray techs, because they're the one that pays the bills that keep the board open. And the X-ray techs see that board as a monitoring board as well as a licensing board for them. And they were very concerned about the fact that their fee increase was jumping, and the fact that they were having to pay essentially 4 years out, with the fees, and it was a substantial increase for many of them. Many of them could not afford it. So we worked with them and worked at the budget and essentially held up the budget at $4 because we wanted to see if there was a way we could bring that budget, quite frankly, any lower than it already is. And we looked at different things. We looked at all the investigations that had taken place, the number of investigations over the last 2 years and what they were and how many were dismissed. And we didn't see a huge problem there. And I think, quite frankly, it's, you know, for folks to sit here and say, oh, well, we have drug abusers in the profession and we know there's more, we just need to weed them out. I mean, I guess the concept of innocent until proven guilty apparently has gone out the window with some folks as well. However, I'm going to stand here and defend my x-ray techs who pay the fees and do a good job and x-ray my kids and myself at our hospital. And quite frankly, I feel safe going to St. Charles Medical Center and my doctor's office. And I have never had anyone suggest that there was ever a problem with either a machine and or one of the x-ray technicians. Most of what is being investigated is people whose licenses have lapsed for one reason or another. And I think there's a question as to whether the licensing process in this case is duplicative, because they also technically they need to be registered with another organization, a national organization, in order to work in other states. So in fact, they do do continuing ed to keep that. I believe that's just a registration to keep that thing going forward with that registration. And they are licensed here and pay a significant amount of fees. And their questions to us were, why such a big deal? And so we brought the UOBRT and Leanne before the subcommittee, my subcommittee on boards and licenses under human resources, and heard that there was apparently some mismanagement under another staff, and that the ending balance was spent down without apparently knowing that that was happening. And my question to you is then do we punish the stakeholders and the x-ray technicians for someone else's mistake? And I would say we shouldn't. And I don't think there's an issue of safety here at $4. And I think $4 is probably very, very reasonable in this case. I would suggest that you look at the possibility of going lower than that. And I think because the new system of for the fee going to the birth date and going to the 4 year has been implemented, I think you're going to see a cost savings there over the next biennium, because I don't think all those expenses will be there. But I think you're seeing a bureaucratic song and dance. And I just came down because I was a little bit concerned that maybe you weren't getting the whole picture. And we were working with these folks pretty much for the entire session. And I can tell you that they can generate a lot of heat. I've listened to them, and I believe them. And, you know, I'm here to represent them because they can't drive long hours and sit through long hearings. So that's why I came down today, and I'd be happy to answer questions if you have any for me.
Well, I appreciate that, but I also represent consumers who are concerned about having their children over radiated. So that's a concern I have. And I'm just curious if in your investigations you talked to the board or the executive director of the board before concluding that the $4 a month was enough for the $5 a payment.
Mr. Chair, Representative Warner, yes, in fact, I did meet with Leanne early on in the session, and she explained several things to me, and then I went back and talked to some x-ray technicians and got some new information, and that's one of the reasons that we had them come before the subcommittee on boards and licenses, is to find out some answers to some of those things. And I haven't had any consumers complain that they've been over x-rayed or over radiated. Maybe you have, but I would suggest that the health licensing division or the health division where the machines are actually done is more likely the price that you're going to want to focus, if you're going to want to focus dollars on machines or over radiation.
And are you aware, which we've learned today here, that this national certification that you're suggesting may be adequate actually doesn't require recertification in areas of radiation technology? That the testimony we heard is individual can take a Spanish course and be recertified?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I think that's kind of an outrageous statement to make, quite frankly, because although it may be true, however,
it's outrageous to say though.
Well, my point is it's somehow an allegation that X-ray techs are out there taking Spanish courses or other courses, and somehow that they aren't professional and they don't care about their profession. You know, that certification is used in many other states for these X-ray techs when they're moving from job to job. You can hardly get employed without that. So I think for someone to sit here and minimize that, I think is disingenuous.
Well, I guess some of us might feel that way about minimizing Oregon standards as well.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I don't think you are minimizing Oregon standards. You still have the licensing in this state. Whether or not you have to have that licensing and this board is a question that you can answer and how much you're going to fund that board, but I would suggest to you that that these are professional people and they care about what they do and they're not interested in trying to minimize their profession. At one point we suggested, well, if you're so unhappy, why don't you eliminate the board? And they said, no, we want the board because we want to be professionally licensed. It's important to us. But the fact is that they do take professional courses just like everybody else, and nobody mentioned that it was Spanish. They take courses to improve themselves and their profession.
Mr. Chair, one final question. You mentioned the issue of decertifying the board or just eliminating. We heard testimony, but there was an amendment drafted to accomplish that. Did you have that drafted?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, in fact, I did have that drafted as a placeholder for a bill, which we weren't sure we were going to get our other amendments drafted. And in fact, I let the board know that's a potential amendment that's out there. And
you realize the majority of this legislature doesn't support, nor does the governor, running radiologists free upon us, doing what they do without any regulation. You can certainly get anything drafted you wanted, but that some of us might consider a bullying tactic.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, you can consider it wherever you want to.
Are there other questions of Representative Cohn? Representative Hanson is recognized.
Hey, thank you. We've got approximately 3,000 registered technicians and limited license technicians. At $4 a month, that would produce $240,000 a year a biennium in revenue. The differences that we've seen so far, I think, and we haven't got quite there yet, but it looks like $360,000 annual expense or biannual expenses for the board from legislative fiscal recommendations and $400,000 for the governor's recommendation. So we're looking at $240,000 in biennium revenue. At $5 a month, it would produce $300,000 in biennial revenue. Both of them wouldn't cover, neither one of those amounts would cover the amount that the board probably needs to expend. Do you think that's good budgeting to have the revenue be dramatically less than the amount that being talked about extending?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, it's my view that the folks who weren't responsible for the problem shouldn't pay the bill. It just seems to be an American principle to me. And they may want those funds, and I haven't seen an agency yet that hasn't been able to justify huge increases. The increase you're talking about would be a 67% fee increase for them. And, you know, they're going to have to foot that bill. And I think it can be done for less than the $300,000, and that's why I feel comfortable at the $4 level as opposed to a higher than that, up to the $5 level.
The $3,000 are the limited exam licenses. Are they at the same $4? If they're at the same $4, that would be about $288,000 a year. And then take into consideration that quite a number of those licenses have been renewed at $5, and that $5 will carry over.
I think 2,300 tax and 700 limited licenses.
At $4 would be $288,000 a year. It would be $12,000 a month times 12 months,
$288,000. That's why we have the CPA on.
Let's see, Senator Paoli.
Mr. Chair, at the risk of losing an informational thunderbolt here, some people disagree.
Right.
And it's my impression that the $4 is a compromise between a disagreement between factions within the radiological technologists themselves. So we can debate the relative merits of the level of protection that the board offers. I tend to hear first hand of mine. I don't think we want people running around zapping folks that don't have certification. And I guess I would take umbrage with the remark about the Spanish course, because all of us know the fastest growing minority in the community is Hispanic. And so I can see a value of having a radiological tech be able to speak Spanish. I am.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Senator. The factory, you say that about me?
Well, you are, sir.
The sure bet of the rest of you. The factory means the $4 is a compromise proposal. And I think the recognize that's what it is.
I recognize that maybe is what it is, a compromise proposal. I'm trying to get at what is needed for this board to do the job it's expected to do and to do it well. And it looks to me like at $4, they're cutting the budget and the ending balance is going down rather dramatically, even though the budget's cut over a three-year period that she's showing us in this thing. And so, and the governor's budget is substantially healthier than that. And it's, I'm just wondering, you know, who has the best view about what this board should be doing, and we want to do its job well, and what does it take for that to happen? That's where I am. I don't care about Dan Collins.
Okay, let's have Representative Crummell. Would you like to testify?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jerry Crummell. I'm the state representative from House District 27, and I really appreciate what Senator Tro was saying with regards to what does it take for the board to do its job. And I think with regards to the board doing its job, one of the things that I think would be very useful is if they were, and maybe they are, and it just, and I haven't seen it, I don't know, but that is to use the professional association as a resource that they can call upon to help them with various and sundry issues that come up. I'd like to clear up a couple of things. House Bill 2178, which is the bill that has passed the House, and I believe it's on the Senate floor. If it hasn't passed, actually, I think it has passed the Senate floor. Is the bill that Representative Canoke talked about. And actually, if we had not amended that bill, it would have gutted the limited license people. And what I mean by gutted is that it would have removed the testing for each anatomical area of the body. And I think that would have been a real travesty, because one of the things that allows the limited licenses to occur is that people are tested on each area of the body, for example, the skull or the spine or the hip, because the level of radiation that's necessary to x-ray an ankle versus a hip or a low back versus a neck is somewhat different. And as well, the positioning of the patient is also extremely important to make sure that you get the correct views. So I think that would have been a real travesty to see that to see the limited license areas taken away, because in lieu, you have to understand that a limited license person has not gone through the formal 24 or so month training that a full licensed X-ray technologist has gone through. What they've gone through is a very abbreviated type of training relative to X-ray and some of the theories, and then learning about the specific areas that they're going to be taking X-rays of. So enough about 2178. Now getting on to the bill at hand with regards to the budgetary items. The concern that I have is with regards to cash flow and what will happen over the course of the next 4 years. And I'd like to use my wife as an example. She is a fully licensed X-ray technologist, and she has both the ARRT certification or registration as well as the Oregon license. I would add, let me insert a little footnote in here, and that is that she's also federally, or not federally, it's nationally certified for mammography.
That's a separate licensure
that's actually obtained through the FDA.
Are there other types of separate licensing in addition to mammography? I think we've heard that there is specialized radiation for oncology, and are each of those levels, each of those share different types of licensing?
Yes. They are separate types of training and separate types of licensing that goes with that. But the mammography, and I'll speak to that because I'm most familiar with it, is that the FDA requires, in order to be certified as a mammography, to do mammography as an X-ray technologist, the FDA requires the ARRT certification in addition to any state license that a person would hold. So I think that's an important statement from a standpoint of the requirements the ARRT has with regards to their continuing education. And I am in no means mean to paint this as an argument between the Oregon Board and the ARRT as far as continuing education is concerned, other than the fact that when I go to the extended period of time, for example, when my wife paid her fees, she paid a fee of $225. It's good for 4 years. It's 44 months, actually, is what hers adds up to be. That being the case, two things come to mind. One is cash flow for the board. But the other thing that comes to mind is that her ARRT and her license is only supposed to be good for 2 years. And in order to renew, she would have to show that she has continuing education. The problem is that in the next 4 years or 44 months, if her license is still in force, but she hasn't kept up with her continuing education, how does the board know that? And they really don't. And 4 years really is a long time to go in terms of looking at continuing education. Generally, associations and licensing boards will look at 1 year, 2 year, maybe a 3 year time frame. But within that time, there's a certain number of credits that a person has to have attained as well. So I think that's important. The other thing is with regards to that I wanted to just touch on is regards to going from, and I know we talk about going from $3 a month to $5 a month, and that's really not very much when you break it down to a monthly basis. However, when the bill comes and it's for 44 months, now all of a sudden you're looking at a $225 payment instead of you know, considerably lower. And the other thing is that does represent, I mean, something that we have to consciously recognize is that it does represent a 66 or 67% increase in fees. I don't know if that's onerous or not. I sort of look at that and say, well, I think it would be onerous. To give us a little bit of to help you with a little bit of comparison, I guess. I recently testified before you with regards to House Bill 2704, which is the Athletic Trainers Bill, and we were concerned about the fees being at about $275, $300, $325, somewhere in that framework, for approximately 200 people, which is going to raise about $150,000 a biennium. The X-ray board has 3,000 members or registrants or licensees, and that's going to raise approximately what do we decide, about $360,000. If they were at $5, it would raise $360,000. And yet I was told when we were putting together the other bill that it was, you know, that there's safety in numbers. In other words, as the numbers go up, then the fee goes down. And I guess I'm wondering, at what point does the fee then still go up with the number of registrants? I don't know how many investigations have been done, but if they're sharing an investigator with other departments, then I would think that would be a cost that would be lower. I would think that the biggest expense is in telephone calls, answering in personnel answering the phone, and in terms of getting information out to people and processing license applications. That's what I would think. Now, I don't know. I don't want to be so naive as to say, well, you know, all these X-ray technologists, you know, don't have drug problems and don't use alcohol and don't touch people inappropriately and that sort of thing. But I would think that the number of those is very low. And I don't recall from our committee in Human Resources that OBRT or that the executive director testified that they had an overwhelming number of serious types of complaints. Yes, if they get a complaint, they need to take an initial look anyway to see what it is. But as far as the seriousness of the complaint, I don't think that she testified that there was a great deal of a number of those. So I would think that the investigators would not need to be a major part of the bill. So with that, I'll leave it in your capable hands.
Thank you very much. I'll start answering the question. Are there questions of Representative Crummell that need to be? Let's shoot for a time. Thank you very much. We appreciate you both being here. Let's come back to Christie, our legislative fiscal officer, and let her go ahead. We arrived at current service level of $331,072 with 2.4. It's where we have left off with Ms. Nickram previously.
The next section of the spreadsheet are the packages that are included in the governor's recommended budget, and I won't go over those. The adjustments that I'm recommending to the governor's recommended budget are explained better on the second and third pages of the spreadsheet, if you'd like to turn to those. Each of those boxes discusses the packages. Package 261 has three parts. The first part is network and database administrator costs of $12,065, which increases the board's budget from 28 hours to 300 hours per biennium. This is an average of about 12 and a half hours per month of database administrative costs. This board shares computer services with seven health-related boards up in the Portland State Office Building, and they went together and prepared a recommendation from the Department of Administrative Services. And there was some question when the health-related budgets went through as to whether these costs weren't too high. And so the other boards that this board shares with have been asked to report during the interim, and I'm recommending that the recommendation for this board be compatible with the other boards. And I'm recommending approval of this part of the package with the request that the Department of Administrative Services unschedule the funds until the board and the Department of Administrative Services have reported to and received the approval of the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology. The second piece of this package is for a 0.6 FTE additional staff coverage to handle increased workload. This would bring the board office staff from 1.4 up to 2 FTE. The board has been using temporary help to handle increased workload. My recommendation for this part of the package, actually I'm not recommending approval of 0.6 FTE, but I'm recommending a 0.1. They have sufficient funds within their current budget to continue using temporary clerical help. And when the birth month license renewal system is in place, the workload should be considerably eased. However, the current 0.4 FTE clerical position is very hard to, it's hard to retain people because they don't pay, can't pay benefits. So if you add 0.1, then they could provide benefits. So this would be, 0.1 would be $5,345 rather than the $34,831 requested.
But that would give benefits to the half-time position then, from the 2.4 to the 2.5.
Sure, Butler, they could receive benefits if they're a 0.5.
Okay, thank you.
The third piece of this package is a request for additional office expenses of $2,500 for continuing education duplication costs, which would be needed if House Bill 2178 passes. And as we discussed before, there were some amendments to this bill which may decrease some of the office needs, and the Legislative Fiscal Office does not recommend approval of the $2,500 at this time. So in package 261, the original request is for $49,396, and I'm recommending a total of $17,410, which is an increase of 0.1 FTE.
Okay. Are there any questions of Ms. Nixon relative to that $17,410?
And what is the continuing education duplication reduction of the $2,500?
In 21, House Bill 2178.
Mr. Chair.
That's needed if the bill passes. The bill's not going to pass.
It has passed, Senator Schroll, but there were some amendments to it, which should eliminate the need for some of the additional office expenses.
So the $2,500 would not be needed. So
right.
Do you agree?
That would be no.
Talking about the benefit, what kind of benefit are you talking about? Health insurance and for tours and cosmetics? So what packages actually are there?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lim, benefits like all of the insurance and medical expenses and stuff like that. No, I don't have a list of all of these various things. Perhaps Leanne could just get me a brief list.
My understanding is PDRS will be included as well, so that's five times.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, that's accurate. Right now, any temporary position less than 0.5 gets no sick leave, vacation, no opportunity for insurance, none of that. At 0.5 to 1.0, they get a pro rata share. Oh, sorry, Senator Lynn's question.
Thank you.
Okay, Christy?
Package 262 would add funds for 5 board members and the executive officer to attend the Attorney General's Public Law Conference in Salem, which is held in the fall, it would be the fall of 1999. This is considered board training and not continuing education.
This board has no out-of-state travel, just in-state travel costs. The package would also add $3,000 to hire a consultant to perform strategic planning for the board, and these would both be one-time costs. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends reduction of the package, allowing the executive officer and one board member to attend the conference. Expenses would include $350 in costs for each of the two attendees, plus $60 for 2 days per diem for the board members. They get $30 a day for per diem. This would be a total of $760.
This was an issue on the other health licensing boards that might mention that. But none of the other health licensing boards were attending this these programs, and they're sending their members to these programs. But I don't think that, other than maybe even the executive director of the department, was even attending the attorney general's wrap up of the session. So.
Package 263 provides funding to review the board's Oregon Administrative Rules, which has not been done since 1992. The board estimates about 100 hours of Attorney General time will be needed. $1,500 is included for publicity expenses to get the revised information to stakeholders. This would be a one-time cost. The Legislative Fiscal Office does not recommend approval of this package due to budget constraints. And their budget is limited by the amount of operating expenses that they need to have, and so this is one of the things we had to look at.
Do we still have laws on the books that require these people to review their administrative rules periodically every 3 years? Do we fund them to do that?
We have a law that says they should do it. It's my understanding that the administrative rules are to be reviewed every periodically, and this
doesn't allow them to.
This would not allow a current year or a current biennium review of the administrative rules.
How long has it been since they reviewed? This
indicates since 1992.
7 years.
More than 3 years. How much is that package?
$11,900. Okay. Proceed, please.
The next package is package 264. This funding would revise the state limited permit exam, which measures initial competence to practice for minimally trained operators. It hasn't been revised since 1986. The package includes $8,500 to contract a job out, $2,800 for publication costs, and $250 for telecommunication costs. There is no national examination, and this would be a one-time cost. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approving the package, but requesting the Department of Administrative Services unschedule the funds until the expenditures have actually been incurred.
That's my understanding, and in that process, that will lend revitalization to the limited permit exam, which has not been revisited for a number of years, would also assist in making sure that examination meets the requirements for those 25% approximately members of the profession which use that examination, and could act in part as an overview of some of the regulations that need to be examined in that process. So that does address it in part, but certainly not in total and its totality of a complete review of all of the regulations.
Shall I continue?
Please.
If you'll turn to page 2 of your memo that I handed out, I have 3 other small adjustments, technical adjustments. On the bottom of the second page of the memo, the first adjustment is a reduction of attorney general fees, which were $10,962. which reflects the reduction in the hourly charges from $92 to $90, and that's $238. The next two adjustments I made based on projections that I made from their 22-month expenditures. And when I did that projection, I found that there were savings in two line items in their within their budget. And in order to meet the budget needs at $4 per month fee, I'm recommending reducing data processing by $5,000 and professional services by $15,000.
What, in reducing professional services, what else are you reducing besides the investigator
and investigations?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, their total budget for professional services was approximately $28,000 for the 97-99 biennium.
$28,000.
So
that's in the current
service. A
little over, For investigation.
Yes, sir.
Is that the current service level, or is that what it was
last
time?
That's the legislatively approved budget.
Last time. Okay.
It's current
service level, inflation for that would be what then?
If you're 9.5%, is it?
Well, tell me, what's the number? Is $28,000 the number in this budget?
$97.99.
Okay. What would it be then if we just rolled that forward, the current service level, what would the number be?
$31,000.
Okay. So you're reducing that by
$15,000. As of April 30th, they had spent $8,000 of that. And based on the $20,000 savings, I thought we could reduce that by $15,000. That would still.
Could you consider the fact that they had deliberately not done that because of the turmoil that they were having because of the fee increase? That the E-Board approved? Must have approved, right?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cho, the turmoil really has taken place since February and or March when we had the hearing. I think there was some turmoil before also, but I don't believe the thought of reducing the budget came up before.
So you think that they really did not spend that money earlier? They just didn't have reason to spend it, is that it?
I think you have to ask,
though.
I think she...
Well, Mr. Chair, you did ask him, and what we were told was, I have no reason to doubt it, was that because of the uncertainty, this was part of what they held back to keep a reserve, which I understand is something we are, you know, the boards and commissions and agencies to do. Did you find that a plausible explanation for why they had only spent $8,000 of the $20,000?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, I wasn't given that explanation.
But I mean, now that we've heard that, does that seem plausible to you?
I think that there could be that could be one of the reasons. And
I think there's been some excellent dialogue. I think that we certainly this probably predates the current concern because the fee issue. Moving the fee issue from the $4 from the $3 to the $5, there probably was some backlash from that. That's been going on. We've had testimony. That's been going on since 1998. So there was some concern over that. That could certainly slow down your expenditures. I'm not going to make any assumptions as to what number may be left undone, but I'm wondering if we could come back, and I've had Christy just do just a couple of calculations. Christy, if we were to restore a total of $15,000 back into that budget, and look back at our the cash flow on the $4 fee, would we go below in the 99-01 or the 2001-03, would we go below the 3 months in either of those 2 years based on your calculation?
No, Mr. Chair.
So, go ahead. I beg your pardon. I didn't mean that.
If my calculations are correct, I believe that if you added another $15,000 to the budget, at the end of 1999-01, you'd have 5.6 months of operating expenses, and at the end of 2001-03, you'd have about 3.5 months.
Okay, so we would still be over 3 months if that was added for basically both years and a roll-up for the second biennium then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments relative to that, Representative Hanson?
Well, I really like the direction you're going. I'd like to also consider if the $11,000 for the administrative rule review could be put in as unscheduled dollars. Once they maybe find out whether it but perhaps that review might not cost the full $11,000, but having to go to the emergency board to free that up if the administrative rules do need some work. But what I was one the other concern I have in the question that I'm leading to is in the year 2001 to the biennium 2001-03. We're assuming 5% increase to that biennium. I guess what I'm thinking is that probably during that biennium, the board may very well have to go to the $5 fee rate. Is there a problem with that? Isn't this $4, which we don't have to address somebody.
Yeah, we certainly don't bind them. And may I just
but is there something mathematic with the birth date registration or birth date licensing and extending it out? Is there a problem if they'd be doing a fee increase during that biennium?
Well, it certainly would need to be done differently than the last one. I can tell you that. That's where the difficulty. In other words, you wouldn't phase it in month by month. It would just be as your license renewed, you just go ahead and pay the full fare at the $4 or then at the $5 and recognize that there's a calculation in this whole process that has been helped by Linda as well as Christy to try and calculate the credit for it because there is an overpayment in effect at the $5 that has been collected. Relative to the reinstatement of a full 11-9, I'm going to tell you my concern with regard to that in a hurry, and that is that number one, we are leaving the full 11-550, which gives you a full new examination and a complete review of the examination for the limited exam, and that will include some AG time as well for the preparation and some oversight. Now, that is not going to give you the in-depth detailed review of the administrative rule process. Again, they could come back into the next legislature and ask for not just the $5, but the commensurate fee or the commensurate expense of the administrative rule complete oversight, what hadn't been reviewed with the limited permit. And this was an explanation given to me by some of the members who visited with me and who have called me on the telephone, have expressed interest in seeing absolutely the integrity of the profession maintained by the limited permit examination being updated, because if you know anybody that's taken the examination since 1986, it's a take-home. I mean, once you take it, you go ahead and keep the examination, and that examination has never changed. And so what happens is that even though that you may have the 126 required hours, if you've known anybody for the last 13 or 14 years that's taken the exam, if you don't get 100%, it's either because you can't remember or you don't have any friends that have ever taken it before.
I think we have some, the agency's not come out of the chair.
Chair Butler, this is not a take-home examination. People may carry something in their brain.
Oh, I see.
We can't, if we could demagnetize.
But it doesn't say.
No take-home.
So they.
It'll demagnetize. How about just a shot of radiation?
they don't take the examination home with them. They just, they can, whatever their answers are, they just go from one year to the next. The answer is identical.
Chair Butler, we have two versions of the test, and we alternate. But that's, again, that's one of the things that Christy and I did talk about, was the idea that we were saving money so that we could get some software so we could tumble this exam, so it would be harder to say the answer to question three is either this or that.
Right. But my understanding is the full $11,550, which we are leaving in at this particular point, gives you a complete revised new series of examinations.
Chair Butler, we're going to do our best to do it for that.
All right. That was that package 264.
How badly is a review of your administrative rules needed? Do you really need to do it? Or are you doing it because you know you ought to, because time has elapsed? Do you need to do it?
Chair Butler, Senator Trill, I believe it needs to be done. There are things that are inconsistent. I'm having staff keep a folder of issues they have with it. Professional society members have come, and we've tried to work on those. We're simply limited in what we can do because of the lack of resources at this time. But I believe it absolutely needs to be done.
It needs to be done now. It can be done in 2 years.
Chair Butler, Senator Trow, we'll do what you tell us to do to the best of our ability. I want to do it now. I like good law. Good administrative rule as quickly as possible.
Sure.
Representative Leonard, would you like to do
that? Well, I'd like to make a suggestion. I'm a little uncomfortable about how we're putting this stuff together here this way, and I wonder if there's any possibility to hold this over for tomorrow or the day after tomorrow.
We won't be meeting tomorrow. Day after tomorrow, our schedule has right now, I think, four budgets or five budgets already. Four of those are just work sessions that are the minority commission, which we have already previously heard. And then, let's see.
I don't feel like I have a grasp of what the undercurrent of what's going on here, and I feel like we're trying to put a budget together on the one hand to represent good public policy, but then on the other hand, with some kind of political pressure over here to do something I'm not comfortable with.
And I appreciate that. And this would give us an opportunity to work through that $15,000 issue. Senator Ferriola is recognized.
I'm sure I've been pushing some math around here, and admittedly I'm an English major, so I'll need to ask the staff to help me through a simple equation. I'm looking at the document. It appears to me that the agency has a relatively large cash carryover.
Yeah.
And that's around $335,000.
And that's the result of the neighborhood.
Yeah. And the $4 fee we're proposing would generate $340,000 approximately.
$340,000. Their revenues are expected in the next biennium to be $146,000.
That's down because of the 2 year collection, the 4 year collection, Senator Ferriola. That's part of the concern.
Are they actually sending money back?
No, they won't need it. And the reason Senator was
giving the credit?
Yeah, just credit towards the next fee. And the reason was it was between $9,000 and $10,000 just to generate the refunds
So the total available capital for the agency would be around $481,000.
During what period of time?
During the biennium, the carryover and the new revenue.
$438,000 is what we
had
estimated.
Right, and the governor's revised recommendations for $405,000.
The original governor's recommended was $411,000 approximately.
So I guess I'm wondering why we're not moving this budget forward. as recommended by Alison. Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering why, since it looks like the cash carryovers in the existing $4 schedule puts us over the governor's revised recommendation.
Like I've met with, and the only item that's come out that I really didn't, that this brand new information was presented was the 72, the 72 different items of inspections that have been done, investigations by the retired Portland police officer that has been engaged by the health licensing board to do this. And quite honestly, I question, you know, there's not a lot of those that are really competency issues. The largest single item is unlicensed practice, and the next largest item is the use of controlled substance, and thereafter it goes to DUI. So really, you know, failure to follow administrative rules doesn't appear to be a major factor, and that's why, but given the fact that there has been some question since sometime in 1998, maybe they should have been conducting 140 examinations as opposed to 72 examinations, which really is just a doubling. I mean, from 8,000 it would go to 15,000. But what I'm saying is that if we can make this work at $15,000 of additional professional services, so that we've got the necessary investigations covered, if in fact that, you know, there are more miscreants out there in the profession than we're led to believe, or that the investigations have brought us to believe, then at that point we should have a pretty good handle on it. And I guess I feel like that this has already gone through one complete committee. It's been worked and reworked, and I feel like you do, Senator, that we ought to go ahead and get something done rather than carry it over for an extended period of time. And if Legislative Fiscal Office is comfortable with a $15,000 add back, which would give them during this next biennium an additional $15,000 for the investigations or for the other issues that may come up relative to that, then and maybe unschedule that amount so that if there aren't really pending investigations, and we don't know how many really pending investigations there are out there, do we know of the number of complaints? Are there more than 72 complaints left out there right now?
Chair Butler, not to my knowledge.
Okay. But so I guess what I'm saying is that my feeling is that by 15,000, you used 8,000, and we're going to add back another 15,000, and if we left that as an unscheduled amount, then that would still be available for the issue of the fact that we haven't addressed all of the administrative rules that people might be disobeying, might be violating. But again, I don't. The only one that I can see is the possibility of the excessive radiation. There's been two of those, and we've indicated one of those is a lead. I don't know anything about the other, but
yes, sir.
Representative Krupp,
following Senator Cariola's figures, which seem to make perfect sense to me, it appears that the agency, the board, would have sufficient funding to be able to fund the $15,000 add back should they need it. I'm assuming, and if you could tell me from your perspective at Legislative Fiscal, that would also allow a sufficient ending balance for them at the end of the biennium that is targeted in terms of, I think we're asking for 3 months, 3.5 months, something of that nature. It seems to me that the agency, the board again, is with the amount of money, they're to be commended for being very frugal. So it seems to me they've got plenty of money here to accomplish more than what the governor has recommended. Still have a good ending balance. They have plenty of money to accomplish the things they need to do. I think we'll move this question.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might add to Senator Krupp's
comments. If we're on schedule, I trust the board to make the decision about prioritizing whether or not the investigations or the administrative rule review were the more critical element.
Linda Ames, would you feel comfortable with that? Because it will eventually be, the unscheduling will eventually be a DAF call. Okay, you're shaking your head yes in the affirmative. The only thing I want to make absolutely certain of is that we understand that we're not binding the 2001-2003. As a matter of fact, the time for the sunset of the $4 is 2003, so that it can be readdressed in this next legislature, the 71st legislature, so that they can come back at that time and ask for increases or impose increases under the former Senate bill and make other modifications as may be necessary. Really, what we're doing is we're trying to project the $15,000 out for two biennia for a total of 4 years, and we're still coming up with over 3 months. And at that particular point,
I think the adding the $15,000 is fine. I think it would help take care of a lot of these problems, and so I'm pleased that you want to do that. I'm still not satisfied that in the long run, the fee level at $4 is the fee that they're going to have to have, but maybe it's enough to get by this time, and then see where they are next biennium with how it looks for 2001-2003.
Thank you, Senator. I think surely that's what we tried to do is to leave it open so that they could come back. And I didn't want to. I'd requested of Christy Ms. Nickram that given the opportunity to extend the time for the sunset, that the sunset should go out to 2003, so that in their current biennium they could come back and look at that and then ask for an extension of that biennium or extension of that sunset. Even beyond that 2003.
Now, what is sunset? The fee level?
The fee level at $4. And it would go back to $3. And that's what I say. If that goes out to 2003, July 1st of 2003. Mm-hmm. So, the motion then is that right now, then, that the total budget be at $355,554, which is the current legislative recommended. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, does that mean we'll eliminate this recommendation to reduce?
Basically, the $15,000 would be reduced off of there,
mm-hmm.
so that the total would be $355,554 and 2.5 FTE. Is there any objection to that?
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could say, I appreciate getting to the point that we're at, but I am going to vote no. I'll tell you why. I resent having the political pressure, not from this committee. I appreciate things have been cleaned up here a little bit, but I resent the kind of political pressure that's been put on this board based on some discussions some may have who are with those who may be licensees without a concurrent concern about the impact on Oregonians of having people not adequately licensed, trained, and prepared to do their job adequately. It's not how we do things it may be how we do things around here now, but it's not how I'm used to having things done around here, and I'm not going to vote yes on this because I don't appreciate what I consider to be acts of intimidation on a board. I mean, when they first got up here today, they didn't want to tell us that they had a problem with the budget because they said, well, we've been threatened to have our board just dissolved. Well, come on. We can't have an honest discussion about budgetary items, what the purpose of a commission is, and what its role is in protecting Oregonians. That's not good. Maybe some here don't mind sticking their head in front of a radiation machine and having it turned on and by whoever happens to pull the switch. Well, I do, and I care about my kids and my mom.
who has this kind of a treatment. So I take this commission's role seriously in protecting Oregonians, and I just have a bad taste in my mouth about what I've heard here today. So for that reason, I'm going to vote no.
I appreciate your concern. I want to express that I think that based upon testimony given to me and discussions by the MD on the board, he feels like there is an adequate level of professionality on the board that they feel like that there is a degree of real confidence. His concern, again, has been expressed, and a number of people have concerned this revised limited permit license needs to be updated, and we need to start in on that. Any Representative Hansen's recognized?
Well, I'm doing, I'll support the budget because I think we're starting in the right direction. I am very concerned, though, on roughly the same issues Representative Leonard has raised, with one other wrinkle, and that's the legislature 2 years ago gave them the authority to do the birth date registration. It also sounds like they had some financial difficulties at that point, and I'm sure the legislature encouraged them to solve that through raising fees.
Senate Bill 1192 allowed the boards to go ahead and raise fees based upon what they felt.
So basically, they're doing what they were asked to do by the legislature, and
but let me qualify this, and that is that most of them went ahead and raised the fees effective a certain time rather than have a full page fee schedule at that particular point. So
I guess we asked groups to go out and do good work, and then when the storm occurs, I don't think we're supporting them the way we should. I don't think it does any good to really belabor it much longer, though. But the point is, I think we need to support citizen groups that are doing the sometimes really rough work that we ask them to do.
We appreciate the citizens' board that we have out here on this.
Representative Leonard,
Leonard.
We look alike.
That's all the talk.
I guess they have a sophomore, so you never know. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say that it seems to me that there's a lot of conflict within the industry, between the board and the industry, and that I think this budget, which you're proposing, with the $15,000 increase, is fair. Opportunity for the business, the industry, the board to work out some of these difficulties. I'm a little concerned that the administrative rules, if they haven't been had a look at since 1992, why you have to do it in one chunk, or why you have to do it all at one time. It would seem to me to be prudent to, as they arise, to deal with those kind of issues. And that's what I'm going to ask, and I would hope that you could do some of that just within your present budget. In the next biennium, or if you want to spend some of the other funding that we alluded to, that would be a priority of the board. But it seems to me that the board just needs to work at getting the industry back together.
Okay, thank you very much.
I think the industry needs to work also at that too. It's not like they're pretty divided. They really want to have a licensing board, then they're going to have to support it. You know, it's not going to do this if they're not out there supporting it.
Okay, are there any other comments or concerns, questions? Those voting no? Representative Leonard, any other no votes?
Well, counsel,
Crep voted no. He said to save vote. I got it right here.
We have the two. We just about did it to death there, but we have the two House bills, 5065, which is the fee bill.
The fee bill will be at $4 and will sunset in July 1st in 2003. Are there any objections to the fee bill as it's been discussed?
Why is it sunset? Is it written that way?
It is written that way. It doesn't have to be sunsetted. However, we recognize that in the next biennium, the other issues that we are addressing but not finalizing could certainly come forward, and they could then go to a $5 if they wanted to at that point, or if they
yeah.
It is.
You said it could be this actually easily done sunset, but that's a really close time.
I'd prefer it without the sunset as well. I don't think they're ever going to go back to three and have a board.
Okay, we could go ahead and strike the sunset out of there and then leave it at the $4, and then they could come back and request a larger amount under Senate Bill 1192.
Clark and I'll vote yes if we do that.
I'm your vote.
Okay, then the fee bill, House Bill 5065, would be at $4 without a sunset.
Right.
Are there any objections to that? No objections to the House Bill 5065, $4 setting the fee. Okay, it's ordered, and we'll move that to the, with a due pass with the full Ways and Means. And then the recommendation at $355,554. At 2.5 full-time equivalency, as recommended by Legislative Fiscal Office, and as previously adjusted. Senator, or Representative Leonard is opposed to that. Any other? There being no other opposition, we'll go ahead and order that to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Thank you very much. Thank you for participating. We appreciate it. Apologize for keeping it so late. Thank you, Senator.